All right. Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
Who's leaving tomorrow? Who's leaving tomorrow? I'm sad, but you know what? I'm also happy. I'm happy because I believe that this week that we have shared together can be the fount of many, many, many good things. Like I said on first night, there is no reason why the peace and the joy and the barely scratched the surface on our concept of the possibilities. There's no reason why that exploration has to stop around this circle. In fact, it is the intention of God that it should go on and on and on. One thought for you tonight before we share some moments sharing what God has done in our lives. And of course, before that, we're going to have a little review. And before that, I'm going to get rid of this because I don't need it. And before that, let's pray. Father, thank you once again for bringing us together. May your Spirit press in close tonight and teach us what we need to know. May we be brave to make the decisions necessary to keep this fire alive in our souls, not just tomorrow and the next day, but the next day after that and eternity beyond that. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Once upon a time, the disciples of Jesus stood back and they watched this mystery unfold. They watched the outworkings of a kingdom whose operation was completely foreign to anything they'd ever seen on planet Earth before. And as they saw this foreignness taking place, at the same time, their minds, their eyes were open to just how beautiful, how incredible, how unforgettable this was. 70 men had just gone out and they'd come home, and lo and behold, their lives were full of faith and power. They wrought all these mighty miracles and done all these great works. They all had a testimony to share, and the disciples sitting at home were like, how does this work? What does this mean? What is going on? And so as over the next few days, apparently, as I interpret Scripture, over the next few days or the next moments, the next hours, the next weeks, they watched their master looking for the link, looking for the secret to break the code to how they could get involved in this beautiful and marvelous thing that was happening all around them. And one day they watched him pray. And they concluded this must be it. And so they came to their master and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus shared with them the secret of his strength. The secret of what kept his heart beating in unison with the heart of the Father. And therefore gave him a relationship with his Father that lasted through everything. That defied, that rose above every circumstance of life. A relationship that was so strong, it was more real to Jesus than were the wind, the waves, the water, and the screaming disciples while he lay asleep in a boat that was about to, they thought, go to the bottom of the sea. As real as all those things were, his relationship was more real. And so he had this peace that passed all understanding. They wanted that. So they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, and Jesus revealed his secret. Not just in the words he said, in the words he commanded them to say, but in that part of God which those words revealed. He said, when ye pray, say, our Father. Our Father. Not some angry, jealous, ugly God in some pagan temple somewhere. No. A daddy who so deeply desired the companionship of the kids that he had created, that when we were cut loose, when we abandoned the family and thus were left abandoned to wander through a dark and lonely world, cold, shivering, and afraid, he sent his only son. Not just his son, his only son. He sent all his sons, one. To let go of everything that he knew, everything that he loved, to come down here and kneel down in front of us and say, look, I know you're afraid, I know you're cold, I know you don't have a home to go back to, but I do. I still have a daddy. Come home with me. God is love. And that God of love is not just love. He's a thousand other things too. He's the prince who brings peace. He's the one who brings comfort and hope and joy and encouragement to weary hearts. And at the same time stands as a rock of defense, fire to our enemies. He is serious business and he is not fooling around. He's good. Ever, only, and always good. And he's forever. His kingdom isn't going away. And you and I have a chance that our little hearts should be host to that eternal weight of glory, to that eternal God in heaven, so that once again, the circumstances can rush around like a storm, but all those storms are beneath our feet because we're on his shoulders. God is good. God is love. God is forever. He has a plan. He is our guide. He breaks our chains. And he is, in fact, the power behind his every request to his kids. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He is your guide. He's also the gift. He's also the gift giver. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. God breaks your chains. He walks beside. And this is how he finishes the whole thing. He reminds us that our home is glory. Our home is glory. That we don't belong down here. That whatever of earth arrests our attention, it's still not good enough. We were created for something higher, something holier, joys far deeper than can be found down here. When I was about your age, I lost a friend. He was the friend of all friends, the friend of all people outside of my family that most massively moved my soul in favor of the God of love, in favor and towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when I was a little boy, scared of my own shadow, he, on countless occasions that I now remember as if they were yesterday, would kneel down while I stood, and then we were the same height, because he was over 6 feet tall. And he would look me in the eye and he would tell me that one day God had such incredible plans for me, he could not wait to see what they were. And I would look at him and think, that's very nice of you to say, but you have no idea what you're talking about. But you know, a lie often told is finally believed, and a truth often told is finally believed too. And somehow, the fact that it didn't come from my family, who also told me all those same things, but you know, they're my family, and they love me, and they would say that anyway, right? But what did this guy have to lose? Like, why did he, like, what put him up to that? Well, nothing.
He was my best friend's dad. And when I was about your age, he was diagnosed with cancer. He wasn't diagnosed with cancer until he was just minding his own business in his living room one day, sneezed, and he broke a bunch of ribs because they were full of cancer. And then it wasn't that long after that, just every month it got worse and worse and worse, and then he died, and I haven't heard that since, not from him. But you know, before he died, he prayed a prayer that I want to challenge you with tonight. Because you can go from this place, and we've had this marathon through this one method of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've had this marathon, this full speed sprint all the way through, and we've skipped so many things, we've glossed over so many, we've just run past so many trails we could have taken. I've missed so many details I could have done, and still I've kept you twice as long every night as I was supposed to. So you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, that's great. I go home tomorrow and what I have here is sweet in my mouth, but it's not enough. Like, I'm not sure I know where to go from here or what to do from here. Or I might know what to do from here, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. 1 week, is 1 week enough for a life to turn around? I don't know. Well, I do know. 1 week is enough if you allow God to finish what he's begun. You might go home and you might not have campfire every night. Of course, you could still listen to campfire every night next week. You might go home and you might not have campfire every night. You might not even have worship every day. But that doesn't mean the gift that you found here or the gift that you started to find here has to go away. That prayer that my uncle prayed, wasn't really my uncle, it was my best friend's dad, but I called him uncle. That prayer that my uncle prayed as his body was rotting away, throbbing with cancer all through his bones. They would roll his bed over towards the window, and he would turn his head just a little to look out so he could see the clouds, because he loved clouds, because they reminded him of heaven, and because he knew his home was heaven. And he couldn't wait to get there, I think for obvious reasons. They'd roll him over to the window and he would look out and he would see the clouds and he would pray a prayer over himself and a prayer for his kids that I learned to pray for myself. That's the prayer I want to leave with you tonight. Because heaven's going to be quite a place. The God who lights the place is infinite in glory. We could spend eternity of eternity trying to track him down, trying to throw our arms around the whole thing because we love and never find the end. There'll be something there to love for absolutely everyone. I don't care what it is you love down here. If you love science, there'll be science. And if you love art, there'll be art. And if you love music, there'll be music. And you know what? We'll all have one thing in common at least, and that is love for Jesus. And you know what? Jesus will be there. Jesus will be there. And everyone who's ever loved him first will be there. And there'll never be another tear there after we get done dealing with this mess. There'll be no more tears there. There'll be no more fears there. There'll be no more being alone there. There'll be no more saying goodbye there. I want to go so bad. Every day that I live down here, I want to go worse. Because I'm reminded how much this world is not our home. How much about this world has gotten twisted and rusted and messed up since it was set up a couple thousand years ago. My Bible says there's no night there. There's no sun there. They don't need the sun.
They don't need a temple either. The Lord God is the light of the place. He's the temple of the place. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives exploring new ways to express our gratitude, to express our thankfulness, new ways to understand and experience joy. And we'll never get to the bottom of it. Day after day after day, joy will be redefined, and we'll look back at our experience here and say, I didn't know what beautiful was. Even the beautiful that was down here, I still didn't know what beautiful was. I didn't know what joy was. I didn't know what peace was. I didn't know what satisfaction was. Like, I thought I did, and it was sweet. But it's nothing like the real deal. I want to go to heaven so bad, and I want you to go to heaven so bad. That's why I want to challenge you to pray this prayer. The prayer of all prayers that can keep your soul growing, even when you go home from here and you don't have, maybe at your fingertips, the resources that you've had here. You might not have your counselors to ask questions to. You might not have deep Bible study in the morning. You might not have campfire every night to direct your attention back to God and to glory and to prove to you through story after story after story that God is love, that He is good, that He forgives. And He asks you to do the same. Do you want to know what that prayer is? The prayer my uncle prayed over himself and his kids over and over and over again was simple. He said, Lord, do whatever it takes. Lord, do whatever it takes. That's a bit of a brave prayer to pray. Because what if there was something in your life that had to go? What if there was something twisted or rusted or messed up in your heart? Something that was keeping the truth out at arm's length. Something that was blinding you to the reality of who and how God is and what He does. What if there was something like that? What if there was something like that in your life and you prayed that prayer and the next thing you know, you're in the fire? It's a brave prayer to pray, and especially because I had to break it to you, but there is twisted, there is rusted, there is clouded over in your life and in mine. It's a brave prayer, but it's a prayer of faith. It's one that acknowledges that regardless of what it takes, regardless of the price to be paid, heaven is cheap enough. That His promises are sweet enough. And that He's wise enough not to require one penny more from His children than it actually costs. You think, oh man, but if I pray whatever it takes, and He takes away my favorite thing, like, how could He do that? Like, that would be too much. That wouldn't be nice of Him. That wouldn't be kind. That wouldn't be good. Maybe your favorite thing is poison. Most of our favorite things are in a fallen state. Poison, explosive, corrosive, radioactive. The things that actually kill us, but we cling to them. Like the Israelites this morning. So tonight, I don't know. I guess I want to dare you to trade them in. Even if just for 30 days. If just for 30 days... you're willing to pray that prayer and mean it. Lord, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to build between me and you the kind of friendship that will last through the fire, through the darkness. The kind of friendship that actually calms fears. That builds boats to cross rivers. That calms storms. If you pray that for 30 days, my guess is that you will find the fire in the next 30 days. My guess is also
you'll see a way through. You don't have to do it, of course. But you know, statistically, even if you don't, you'll still find the fire. Because you found some truth here. You found a measure of peace and love and joy here. And the devil is not interested in letting you keep it. What if I told you that you're going to meet the fire either way? And that if you meet it with an open heart and with faith, that you could profit from it. That you could find a way through. That you'd find the steps of Christ cooled in the coals. And you just put your feet there. Or you could do it on your own, like you've tried, I don't know, probably 100 times. I'm going to sing a song, and after I sing a song, you're going to have an opportunity to share what God has done for you this week. But while I sing the song, I want to give you an opportunity, because some of the decisions perhaps that you've made this week, or some of the decisions even the decision that I'm asking you to make right now, to be brave enough simply to pray this prayer for 30 days, Lord, do whatever it takes, and whatever you ask, I'll give it. That decision is not one that you might, need to come up here and expound upon for 60 or 90 seconds in front of the microphone. It is enough just to acknowledge, just to bend your knees, and to say, Lord, that's me. I'm willing. So I'm going to ask you, if that is you, while I pray, if you're willing to say specifically to this challenge, yes, for 30 days and beyond, the beyond is between you and God. I only ask for 30 days because I know that if you do it for 30 days, you won't want to quit. If it is you that wants to respond yes to 30 days worth of, Lord, whatever it takes to save me, whatever it takes to draw me to yourself, that's what I want. Do it. And second, whatever you ask, I'll give. Then while I pray, I actually want you to come down and join me here. While I sing. Then we'll pray. Then you can go back to your seats. If 100 kids get up, I might be tempted to wonder if I properly explained what I was asking. So you don't need to get up. You sure don't need to get up because your neighbor gets up. I want you to get up for one reason and one reason alone. Because you're leaving tomorrow or next week, and because you want God to continue what he's begun. And you look at your life and you're thinking, I don't know how, and I'm not sure where I'll get the answers. God has the answer. And he'll give you the answer by whatever means necessary if you're willing. So if you're willing to be brave and pray that prayer and say, for 30 days, I'm going to seek you. For 30 days, you can do whatever you need to do to save me. And for 30 days, I will say only yes. That's who I want to come. It might be 1, it might be 3, it might be 5, it might be 15, it might be more. But to make sure that it's only the right ones, I want everyone to close their eyes. While I sing, just listen. If the Spirit tells you to come, then come. Time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God.
but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at the world to know how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. And I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my prayer, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place, who ran a course I could not start, and when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. And I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Holy Father, here we are again. On our knees, little children, eager for the blessing we barely are coming to understand, and with still so many questions on how to get it. You be our leader. You be our guide.
strengthen us, light our feet with light from heaven, and give us hope at every step, and the bravery and the strength to keep believing and keep believing and keep believing. And please don't let us forget. You can have your way with us, and we'll give whatever you ask. Thankful for the brave hearts that surround me tonight. And my heart rejoices, and all heaven rejoices. Seal this covenant with your own blood. And bring us all home to glory. That's my prayer in Jesus' name.